Zimbabwe.
Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Friday, April the 14th, 2023. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And tonight on Live Talk, we are continuing with our discussion on Al Jazeera's investigative documentary called Gold Mafia that reveals gold smuggling and money laundering in Zimbabwe. The fourth and last episode of Gold Mafia aired today, highlighting the various methods used to launder gold and money from Zimbabwe, and the notorious criminals being aided by the First Family and top officials, the documentary claims. There was no immediate reaction from Zimbabwe's First Family, but the government, through the Information Minister, Monica Muchangwa, last week issued a statement that authorities had frozen the bank accounts of some of those implicated in the documentary. The Citizens Coalition for Change last week also issued a statement in which the party called for an international forensic investigation into the alleged money laundering and gold smuggling. Reacting to the investigation that put President Mnangagwa's ally and ambassador-at-large, Hubert Angel, at the center of this massive corruption, Lovemore Maduku told a journalist his client's actions were above board.
Those who do not want, who pretend not to be understanding me, actually pretending. These are supporters of other political parties. So they exaggerate what I'm doing as if it is so bad, but they're actually campaigning against me. So you should separate those who are campaigning against me and the real people. No real person would fail to understand that a lawyer is a lawyer and is doing his work as a lawyer for Angel, and that he has been asked to go and just tell the public what Angel is saying. He's not in the country, and he decides to speak through his lawyer. On what basis is that hunting, whatever you said, hunting with someone and so on? So it's messengers are never part of the message that they're carrying. This is very well-established practice and so on. Let me give an example. If, for example, you find yourself in trouble, we do it. I mean, you have a motor vehicle accident, a road accident, and someone dies as a result of that. Accident as a result of your negligence. Normally, this person have to be buried. Under our rules, you actually have to relate with their family, regardless of what the police do. Sometimes you have to assist with the burial, and so on. You are aware of those things. But let's say you realize that the family is very angry and that you will not be able to attend yourself. You want to make, overtures to that other family. You normally send someone who'll say, look, I'm here, I've been sent by so-and-so. He's the one who caused this. We're very sorry about this. But he has asked me to say this, this, and that. I mean, we have that system. Now, if that family then says you are associating yourself with the person who killed our child and so on, you are, and then you start accusing that messenger with the negligence. And I mean, that is, we know it. We do it every day. You actually send someone who will come in and who will, of course, stomach all the attacks that are coming. I'm very clear myself that there are people that understand our politics. When we get to the NCA now, we're working with people on the ground. Tomorrow we'll have a very busy. There are people who will not take that angel thing to be anything.
That there was Professor Lovemore Maduku, the lawyer for the ambassador at large, Hubert Angel. Maduku is also president of the National Constitutional Assembly. His actions in defending Mr. Angel has irked a lot of people who feel that people named in the gold mafia should be investigated. President of the Democratic Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Robert Chapman, said it's unfortunate that people who are looting the country's wealth are represented by a lawyer who happened to be a leader of an opposition party.
what the document should really do is take us to now make a call for action. We have a serious, serious problem with corruption in the country, and we can spend a lot of time debating it. There comes a point where we have to start taking action as citizens. What's really disturbing about this is the ties of the smugglers and the individuals to the executive branch, right to the very top of the Zimbabwean government, including an official who's based in the UK. And the other side of this, news comes out that the lawyer of the very same smuggler who's implicated in this documentary is a leader of an opposition. So as Zimbabweans, we have to really introspect right now. If we're talking about really solving corruption, it cannot be done by the people that are involved in it. So we have to have a very serious conversation, which is very uncomfortable, but we have to start thinking differently if we're going to tackle this beast, which is corruption.
That there was Mr. Robert Chapman, leader of the Democratic Union of Zimbabwe, commenting on the documentary. The director of SAPES Trust, Professor Ibu Mandaza, said it was important for all political parties and the private sector to condemn the looting of the country's resources by a few, while others are living in abject poverty with no medicines in hospital and bad roads.
Like most Zimbabweans, but not surprised, because there's always been talk and indeed hints that ever since the DRC war in 1997-98, that sections of leadership in Zimbabwe, in the state in particular, have been involved in a lot of corruption and looting, especially in the mineral sector. So, to some extent, the gold mafia is confirmation of that. What's most shocking, of course, is the fact that the fingers are pointing at the head of state himself, Emmerson Mnangagwa, and his family. And the revelations are startling and indeed incriminating. And I think that Zimbabweans as a whole, but even beginning with ZANU-PF itself, they should demand that Emmerson steps aside, or at least that an investigation is commissioned into this whole saga. I am hoping that through the Politburo of ZANU-PF itself, in the first instance, there will be enough questions asked to put pressure on Emmerson Mnangagwa to step aside or even stand down and allow for investigation. If I were in another country, Mnangagwa would have been asked to resign just on the basis of the innuendos, the revelations in the documentary. But this is Zimbabwe. I hope, too, that Zimbabweans as a whole, civil society, and in particular the opposition, take up this issue and begin with a motion in Parliament.
That there was the director of SAPES Trust, Professor Ibu Mandaza, in Harare. Let us now take a short break. Please stay tuned.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss this issue, we are joined by Dr. Chipode Ndere, a professor at Wellesley College. We also have in studio with me our guest, Ms. Manyara Irene Munyenziwa, the leader of Freedom of Rights Under Sovereign Party. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you for having me.
And I will start off with my question with you, Ms. Munyenziwa. Al Jazeera has just started exposing the wrongdoings in Zimbabwe. What are you saying about, as a leader of the opposition party, what's your comment on this Al Jazeera expose, especially the last part that we just watched?
This is the problem that we have in Zimbabwe, whereby I think even people who are representative of the legislative sector, like Professor Maduku, would be the people that we wish to see at the forefront, actually showing transparency in the way that these issues are being handled, actually standing on the right side of, you know, how the laws should be applied. There again, I can't say, you know, any lawyer can represent anybody, you know, who is in the wrongdoing or in the right doing. So that is their choice, but we would actually expect to see somebody who is in leadership of an opposition party taking a stance in actually showing that, you know, this is a wrongdoing at a grand scale in terms of our mineral management.
But Ms. Munyenziwa, you're also in the opposition. Why are we not hearing much from the opposition, like what Mr. Mandaza was suggesting, that the opposition and also the private sector need to speak with one voice and condemn what is going on? Why are we not hearing the voice of the opposition?
You hear the voice of opposition, but what happens is when issues like this, you know, come up in the vicinity, you don't quite know the in-depth of exactly what is actually happening. So you can't just rush to voicing out without having substantial information on exactly the channels of, you know, of how these wrongdoings, you know, happening. So without understanding the right channels, then you don't know the areas that you need to improve when it comes to policy formulation.
Mm-hmm. Please stay on the line there with me, right next to me. But I will now go to Dr. Chipode Ndere. I'm not sure if she's on the line with me right now. Dr. Ndere, are you now on the line with us?
I am. Hi, Marvelous.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Dr. Ndere, what do you think should be done in Zimbabwe after seeing this documentary? There are so many allegations. What do you think should be done?
I think this is a national issue where everyone should be completely outraged. The amounts that are being mentioned, this is just one natural resource. You can imagine that if we're seeing this kind of looting in every sector where we have natural resources, we have a major problem. So everyone should be outraged. The journalists should be writing about this. I think, of course, the onus is on the opposition to speak more, but journalists, corruption is a topic that is of interest to the ruling party, to the opposition. So journalists should be doing more. And I think we should not have waited until the last episode to deep dive into what's happening. There are health concerns. There are people that are working in unsafe conditions in order to extract this gold. All of that should be addressed. Our airport is completely porous. That issue, we should have had journalists on the ground, civil society on the ground. Obviously, the leading opposition party should have been talking about this every single day. Why are the airports so porous? Why is it possible that people can go in and out? Right now, the world is concerned about human trafficking. Do we have any guarantee that small children are protected from being trafficked in our airports, right? So there are lots of important questions that have been raised that are not just about gold, and therefore everybody, citizens, everybody must be rightfully outraged. I mean, it's unacceptable that the only sort of official statement right now has been from the Minister of Communications, who speaks for the government. They should be the last ones to comment while the civil society is leading this. And academics, too. I mean, we definitely haven't done our part in speaking out about this.
So do you think that there is enough political will in the government to address this kind of looting, Dr. Ndere?
Absolutely not. I think the government is entangled in a very complicated way. I was just watching the fourth episode an hour ago, and you have the ambassador at large allegedly claiming to be on the phone with the first lady discussing how money could be illegally brought into the country. I mean, that's an international issue that's very concerning. So I think the president's office should make a statement that either distances themselves or makes it clear why this phone call happened, or if this phone call isn't real, then they have a lot of explaining to do. So I think obviously the government, but look, why would they expand effort, right, if the opposition is not putting their feet to fire, to use an expression? Why should they dig up something that will make them look bad? They have no interest in doing so. Unless Zimbabweans make enough noise where the corruption, the looting of resources becomes an international issue that requires serious investigation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And coming back to you, Ms. Munyeziwa, you know a lot of British politics where leaders can be removed from office anytime. Do you see this happening in Zimbabwe where, you know, something scandalous like this happens and somebody is, you know, perhaps impeached or resigns? Do you see this happening?
I don't think Zimbabwe is quite there yet, because you're talking about a mature democracy there, whereby proper application of transparency of policies are put in place. We're not quite there yet in Zimbabwe. This has to start from the top, which is what we don't have in terms of, you know, separation of duties. If you've got a captured judiciary that is actually, you know, under the governance, you know, of leadership, it becomes very difficult for the rule of law to be applied. So we are still working towards that. This is something that we need to look into, us as the young generation coming into politics, and see that we can actually usher these policies so that we can see transparency in terms of politics.
And also, do you think the British government will actually react, you know, with what's happening in Zimbabwe? Because we see that President Mnangagwa has actually been invited to go to King Charles's coronation next month, you know, ahead, you know, before this broke out. But what do you think is going to happen now?
Obviously, you know, Britain cannot perhaps, you know, be involved, you know, with other issues, you know, of another country, internal issues. This is something that Zimbabwe has to see to by itself and make sure that us as political parties, as opposition parties, we come up with something that, you know, can show this lack of democracy and lack of policy implementation, lack of the safeguards when it comes to asset management in Zimbabwe. So I don't think the British politics has got anything to do with Zimbabwean politics.
Thank you so much. Let me go over to Dr. Dendere. What should Zimbabweans do to stop this looting? A lot of people say, yes, we've seen the documentary, but what do they do now?
You know, the first step is to demand questions through Parliament. So the opposition, and I think the members of Parliament that are there, citizens need to make sure that they ask their members of Parliament to raise this issue in Parliament. And one way of doing that is, you know who your MPs are, you voted for these people, ask them, make sure, ask them what they have done in Parliament to bring this issue to book. Mm-hmm. Something else that Zimbabweans could do is to talk about the issue on social media. I know that people say that only 2% of Zimbabweans are on social media, so this doesn't matter. But my own understanding is that almost everybody is on WhatsApp, so people need to be discussing these issues because the information is critical. A lot of people are not quite clear where the corruption is, and so I think having conversations and explaining that is important. Using social media to also demand answers from the government is one way to be able to access. I think if Zimbabweans can show up to official spaces where it is safe and legal to do so and ask questions, right, of the government, of the different officials, I think that's another thing to do. I know that the Zimbabweans in Washington, D.C. will be hosting a demo at the embassy. I think Zimbabweans in various diaspora are in a safer environment in which they can go to their different ambassadors and ask questions. How is this happening? How is it possible that we've got flights flying into the country carrying, you know, millions of dollars, hundreds and thousands of dollars, and at the same time, those planes are leaving our countries with diamonds? And I think something else that Zimbabweans can do is to ask the different governments that have been involved. So in the documentary, they've mentioned individuals from South Africa, Qatar. They've mentioned individuals from Dubai and the Emirates, different parts of the world. And I think Zimbabweans, especially those in the diaspora or anybody really, should be able to ask ambassadors from those countries online, just tweet at them and say, look, here, your country was mentioned. Mm-hmm. Your airline is being accused of looting our diamonds and leaving Zimbabwe with, you know, millions of dollars worth of gold. Can you provide us an explanation? I think Zimbabweans, we have to understand that we have a role to play, and it's not enough for us to just sit back and say these things are beyond us, because we know that Zimbabwe loses at least $1 billion a year through illicit flow of money, through corruption. $1 billion, that's a big chunk of our national budget. That's money that could be going to schools. That's money that could be going to the health sector. Mm-hmm. I think what journalists could also do is to write more articles about this in the independent media, in the state media even, to explain what the looting does. I think the opposition has a responsibility to show people what happens when you lose so much money. What could be the impact of all of this money on people's everyday lives? Because the Emirates have been mentioned. The Emirates are a good example of a country that's using its natural resources, oil, to develop their country fully. People don't know this, but in the 60 years ago, the Emirates was just a desert. Right. But now you go to Dubai and it's world class, and it's all resources from their oil. So this is something where the opposition could chime in and say, look, this is what can be done if money is not looted from the people.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chipo Dendere. Please stay on the line. We have a caller who has just called in. Let me take the caller. Hello, Makadi Pachirongwa.
Hi,
what is it? Did you tell Nani Murukupi?
In England, the jury is Babata Pain and Ruth Francis Town of Botswana.
Tau writings, where Murkuns, where Mugango, Yaya, gold mafia, Tau writings.
You took what is no word, there is no series. Could you know what Tinga Miri, Nika, and Nika, and what I tell you? But you would have Nika Kurushin, the way Zimbabwe, the Tower of Chinika, you know, you're in Massanchi, and those who look at your Kuma, we're a party. Asiyo atizwa sawo chokwadi chavainacho kuti vari kuomora kuno nyika vachingisa kumuto makungwa nyika achigwadama ichitambudzika vanhu vachishaya kana kubhadhara vana vechikoro maticha pachikoro migwagwa nezvimwe zvakadaro zvinotsiririsa zvakanyanyisa handifungiti vanekodzero yekunge vari vatungamiriri venyika vanofanira kunge vari nzvimbo yavanofanira kuisa yekuti vachengetedzwe vasambowana kana chidimbu chefreedom
Mm-hmm. Saka zvamira zvakadaro, imi mungati poitwa sei? Tanzwa Dr. Chipo Dendere vari kutaura ivo kuti vanhu vanogona ivo kunyorera maMP yavo, kunyorera vamwewo vari munyaya dzehurumende umu vachitaurawo pfungwa dzavo kuitira kuti nyaya iyi iwanikwe ichizotaurwa muparamende.
Chekutanga ndechekuti chero tikaita izvozvo tikanyora kumaparamende kumawatiwati kuti zvizotaurwa muparamende nyika yedu chekutanga ndechekuti haina mutemo mukauya nechamuinacho chamoda kuti mutaure chiri against government vatova terorist saka chinhu chinofanira kutanga kugadzirwa mutemo unobata munhu nemunhu zvisinei kuti wabuda mbamani
Aiwa, tinotenda caller. Thank you so much. I'm coming back to you. You just heard what the caller is saying. He's saying that, you know, although ordinary people want to speak out, they fear that, you know, after they speak, there is freedom of speech, but it's what happens to you after you speak that's important. What's your view? As for us, what are you going to be bringing to the table if people were to vote for you?
It's a very important point that has been made there because a public suggestion box is something that can be put out there, us as opposition, so that can be put in front of people. They can voice their thoughts and put it in a box. Nobody knows who you are, but then, you know, we can take all such information and see, you know, how we can formulate policies, you know, around that. Another thing that I need to say is policy safeguards in terms of, you know, asset management on our minerals is something that that we really need to put in place, because if you're looking at our economic tools, you know, one of them is minerals. So it has got a very, very huge impact when it comes to our GDP. So with that, I think policy mechanism around that area is something that I will be pushing for to make sure that, you know, we put these safeguards in place so that, you know, such channels are hindered, you know, from looting gold.
Before I move to Dr. Chibot Dendere, a lot of people have been writing in to say, hey, you say that my Irene Munyez Nziwa is for the opposition, she is for us, but why are you going in as not, you know, as a joint opposition? Are you not splitting the vote by going in as for us instead of doing some kind of coalition, as what our callers are calling for?
Well, just as I've mentioned, you know, when we launched the party, we talked about a grand coalition in our announcement. So this is something that is still on the table. What we are waiting for is dissolving of parliament to see, you know, now that people are independent enough to choose a political party of their choice as a representation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to you, Dr. Chipo Dendere, if you're still with us. Just comment on what the caller said, and also what our in-house guest here just said when I asked about the issue of a coalition when we look at elections.
Okay. I think the caller is right. I think, you know, we haven't had a long history of safe politics. Job Sikala is in jail right now for speaking up. Fadima here was found guilty on a conviction for a tweet. So I understand people's fears. I also understand people's fears for not wanting to hold demos in a place where you might find yourself in jail. But I do think there are other protections that we have. So certainly calling in like what this person did to Voice of America is important. I think people need to hear from other voices that are not academics or politicians. I think asking your MPs to be engaged and calling out your MPs on social media is another safe way to get engaged. And I think, you know, we can't ask people to do things that they are, that they feel would put them at risk. And I would never suggest that. But I also think that if you live in the diaspora, then reaching out to your embassies is not something that would put you at risk per se, if you feel safe to do so. So I think there are some things within our Zimbabwean situation that are available for us to do. And we have to find that faith in whatever little system exists, that there is something that we can do. So I appreciate the caller speaking, and I think more people should be calling in. Voice of America and radio has always been an integral part of preserving democracy. So what you've done here is quite important. And then to Ms. Manyara Mvenziwa, it's so nice to meet you and to hear about your party. You know, as a political scientist, we're often concerned about split votes. The numbers don't lie, so we tend to go by the numbers. And we know that the critical elections in Zimbabwe, whether we're thinking about 2008, where Morgan Tsvangirai barely made it because, you know, there was 8% of the vote that went to the opposition. And I'm thinking about the 2018 election, where there were various seats where the opposition would have had an opportunity to get more members of parliament. And we know that in parliament, it's really, really important to have a strong minority voice. So even if ZANU-PF loses, it's still going to be really important to have their voices in parliament.
Thank and you so there, Dr. Chipo Dendere. Let me just call, take in a caller, and then I'll come back to you. Hello, caller Makadi.
Hello, Makadi. Tiwadi.
Tukutawara nani, mova matipa contribution yenyu.
Tukutawara na mkoma bride children, ntibaba matkwins.
Eh, taurai tinswa. Mungo tiga, gaga, 30 seconds. Tumbo pa mai mwenyezi wa last word. Taurai tinswa.
Yeah, ndukutawara ndu Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, sinodi wadja cha hizo, uti mikaedi ino ufumi ino uchino mkaka, but tiruku ndongwa. Chukuti kana wanoebi ya tuku birika isisi fiwicha ya watisi uzaoti ikenda kupicha iku.
Mm-hmm.
Aparuku ndonga wacho ya nuwa kuru madara. Hawachisina kana upenyu wa anotu wachaweza njiwa ya kumberi.
Mm.
Hakutongo ura ya za wakutiti. Amenu kuti. Para utichidi isiswa.
Aiwa, thank you so much, Baba Matkwinzi. Thank you. I will have to ask you as my in-studio guest to just give us your last word before we close out.
I would like to say that as for us party, we've got something that is quite special for Zimbabwe in terms of, you know, restructuring and actually putting implementation of our policies so that we can see something that is actually tangible on the ground.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Chipot and Dere, unfortunately, time is not on my side. So I'd like to thank our in-studio guest and also those that were streaming with us. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington saying good night, Zimbabwe. Let's meet again next week on Monday.